The Sharpshooters, episode 29, December 24th, 2005. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Christmas special.
Welcome, everybody, to our Christmas Eve edition of the Sharpshooters Wrestling Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus the Grand Finale.
Hopefully, we're not going to try to rush through the show, but we're going to try to get a quick show because it is Christmas Eve. We got stuff to cook, stuff to wrap, and we really need to go to sleep so we can wake up and get our stuff.
Yeah, for Santa.
Hopefully, I get my 60 gigabyte iPod this Christmas, but I'm not sure. That's what I'm hoping for.
You're asking for a lot.
Or DS.
And I'm hoping for... I don't know.
You want that title belt, but no one's giving you
that
belt.
Yeah, nobody's giving me the title belts.
That's $200 for a belt, buddy. You can't do that.
I'm just going to walk around. If I ever get those belts, I'm just going to walk around and be like, yeah.
That's something you got to buy yourself. That's a purchase that you just can't make.
So have a happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas and... And any more holidays around this time?
No.
New Year. That's next week, and we're probably going to be around for that, too.
Yeah, probably be another short day. We probably won't go back into our normal great format until after 2006.
Until the Sharpshooters become the 2006. The 2006 Sharpshooters. Sharpshooters 2006.
So anyway, we have babbled on enough. Let's get right into the news.
Oh, information!
Website, thesharpshooters.blogspot.com.
That's D-A.
The email, thesharpshooters@gmail.com. That's it. Now it's time to get into the news.
Frapper map with no polls.
We don't have to mention the frapper map no more. People see it on there when they go to the site.
Do anybody go to the site?
I don't know. Doesn't matter. Anyway, so it's time. Let's get into the news. Of course, you would think with a Christmas week coming up, news will be slow. And of course, it has been slow. Most of the stuff that we're seeing has been pre-taped and pre-up. The TNA has been taped, God knows, up to New Year's.
Years ago.
WWE, I think they pre-taped the Raw edition this Monday, or...
Yeah, because when they Afghanistan? That was 2 weeks ago.
No, but I mean this Monday, this one at the air, it's not going to be live, right?
No, it's live.
Oh, it is?
I think it's live.
Well, excuse me. But the little bit of news that I have found out, we have TNA are considering creating new titles in 2006.
That's a good plan.
No, it's not, because do you know what titles they're considering creating?
What?
First, an X Division Tag Team Championship.
I don't mind that because it's more X Division.
But the point is, though, it's just that
it's already a tag
it's gonna be like kind of like Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah,
have you have a tag team champ for one showing up? It's like you can't really do it because then you're trying to how they build the X Division. They build it as anybody can compete in it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So what's gonna stop like the Dudley Boys and stuff going to fight for the X Division tag team belt?
That's true.
So it really you can't really create that belt for the simple fact that it takes away that anybody can go compete for the X Division.
And it seems like TNA is trying to like create the two show format that WWE has with SmackDown and Raw with the X Division and TNA.
Okay,
it's like it's the X Division and then there's the NWA stuff.
Yeah,
and you shouldn't do that.
You shouldn't do it. Next thing that they are thinking about doing is the women's championship.
Oh, man.
Now, my issue with this, they don't have enough women superstars to pull this belt off. You have Gail Kim, Jackie, and I'm not even sure if Tracy can wrestle.
Well, I'm not sure Gail Kim has wrestled. But I think they're talking about bringing Chrissy Hemme in. She
I know, well, she was working, but my issue with this, though, I mean, the show is only an hour long.
Yeah.
I mean, I have nothing against women's matches, but... I really don't want to see a women's match. See, in Raw, because it's 2 hours, you can deal with it, and they're short. But I have a feeling TNA is going to try to draw these matches long and out. You know, like how they do with some of these matches.
Yeah, and they put it at their pay-per-view, which they don't even probably, they conjure up. But, well, I think...
They need to create, like, an intercontinental...
TV title.
Yeah, TV title. That would be the greatest title that they can make right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no X Division Tag Team Champ, a TV title that you can help the mid-carders get. So, not everybody that comes with the TNA... goes after the King of the Mountain.
And also, they said... Also, I heard them say rumors that they were trying to get the extra hour from Spike or another 30 minutes. Just a little bit more time for the show. So, maybe if they get the other time, maybe the other titles will work.
From what I understand, the last pay-per-view was Turning Point?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I guess they got so much publicity that the last edition of the taping Impact actually got pretty good ratings.
pretty good.
Higher than what they normally get. So that's pretty good. I mean, I guess they're moving, but I think an extra hour would help out.
Or not 30 minutes. Just something. They need a little bit more time.
For me personally, I wish they wouldn't tape the show so early. That's just how I feel. All right. The next news thing is that WWE is in another legal battle. Not just the Brock Lesnar, who's been getting all the publicity about that, but they're being sued by Tom Gordon. Apparently, he's suing them. He claims that the WWE does not own the rights of Eastern Championship Wrestling. Eastern Championship Wrestling is better known as ECW.
Yeah, which later become
Extreme Championship Wrestling. Pretty much, WWE acquired the rights to Eastern Championship Wrestling when they bought ECW out of bankruptcy. Mm-hmm. The Tom Gordon is claiming that those rights to Eastern Championship should not have been included. WWE's argument is that when they bought the rights to ECW, they made no difference between the two brands.
Yeah,
so
I can side with WWE on that one. Because it was Eastern Championship, then they turned to Extreme. And I'm glad they spelled Extreme with an E.
But apparently, the judge has found some merit inside of the case, and he set the case for hearing for January 26, 2006.
A lot of cases for 2006.
Right? Well, you know. So, that was pretty much the news. Oh, one more story. For those of you who caught Bite This and found it extremely entertaining, Michael Cole and Taz now have their own show on WWE.com. It's called Talking Smack. It's supposed to be kind of like the Ed show where they shoot and they just talk freely about whatever they want to talk about. I advise everybody to check it out. It might be entertaining. Probably me and Mark is going to watch it after we finish this show.
No, it's nothing to watch. I already seen it.
Oh, it's nothing to watch?
It's just 4 minutes of them talking about what the show's going to be about.
That's it?
Yeah.
Well, then wait for the first
round. It's not the first episode. It's just pretty much what they think it's going to be about. And they wasn't sure. And it wasn't really a show until last week on Bite This. And Taz got Michael Cole into this. And they did it. And the set is pretty much the set of what you saw on the Best of 2005.
Oh, I figured that was going to be the set.
That was their set, and that's what they use.
They, at least they have a set, unlike some other shows that took so long.
Oh, Bite This?
No. Anyway, so that's the news pretty much.
Oh.
We'll be back
BL.TV?
With our Friday Night SmackDown year-end highlights report from the show that they aired on Friday. So we'll see you guys in a couple seconds. Back, everybody. It's time for our SmackDown report. Marcus is in a Christmas spirit. He's been listening to the music that we have selected for tonight's show.
You should just throw it in right now.
I'm not going to do it. Go wait till the end of the show. Go keep it safe. So it's time for the SmackDown report. As everybody know, the SmackDown report this Friday was the best of 2005. Now, it's me and Marcus decided together, instead of rehashing and going over the matches that they showed, we're going to mention the matches that they showed. And then we're going to talk about that wrestler's year this year.
Past, present, and future.
And what do we think about what's going to happen to him for next year?
The old Christmas carol game,
so,
it seems like.
Are you ready, Marcus?
I'm pumped up and psyched.
All right. So the first match that they aired was highlights from the WrestleMania 21, where WrestleMania won Hollywood, Batista versus Triple H. Now, what do you think about Batista's 2005 year, Marcus?
Probably the best year of his career. Most shocking year of any wrestler probably this year. Because I had never thought Batista would ever become champion within this time frame. Excuse me.
Ooh.
Excuse me. It's that strawberry drink. Soda, you know. Well, anyway, what was I? I didn't really think he would actually win all this. I knew he was going to, once him and Triple H were feuding a little bit, and Randy Orton had left Evolution, they was feuding a little bit in the Royal Rumble, then I felt, okay, Batista's going to win. But I never, and at WrestleMania, you know he's probably going to become champion. But going through back in Batista's career, I never really thought that he'd become champion. From being Deacon Batista to all the way to heavyweight champion, which is like a year and a half.
I don't recall Deacon Batista, but okay.
You know what I mean? He used to carry the collection plate for Reverend Devon.
Nah, somebody please send me some clips of that.
You don't remember that?
No.
And then they broke up together because he pushed him through the door.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about now. I remember now.
The collection plate.
Now, I guess my 2005. I think Batista shows a very good job of the creative team doing good character development. Mm-hmm. They really, how they put him in Evolution, how they didn't, like, see, with John Cena, they really try to force the fans to like him. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, he's doing all these good things. You need to like him. And for me, that kind of turns more fans against somebody when they try to force things on you. Mm-hmm. Compared to Batista, the fans were given a choice to like you. When he was in Evolution, you knew he was the brains, but he didn't talk, and he wasn't ready to talk yet. But when he got the mic, he was skilled enough to handle himself on the mic. And then when he turned on Triple H, when Evolution was breaking up, the whole storyline, how they kept hitting that he was tired of Triple H, yep. But he didn't do nothing, and he was just tired of it. Uh-huh. And then finally he snapped and had enough. It just made you get behind him, how he was there for Nate when Nate was having his trouble.
And plus, you know, he was against Triple H.
Yeah.
If anybody fights and wants to take Triple H title, we'll get cheered.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why Batista. As for me, I'm going to start off with his future for 2006. I think the beginning of his year is going to be very slow unless he actually takes some time off and heals himself up.
And so he can be around for WrestleMania.
I don't think he's going to be in a main WrestleMania. That's the problem, because WrestleMania is normally in March. From what I understand.
Not April.
April, okay, it's a 3-month injury. Mm-hmm. So he needs to leave now. But that's just but I think if he gets healthy, he can have a Nova Stella run as the champion. Mm-hmm. He's a really good champion. He carries the belt well. So, Marcus, what do you feel about that?
Well, I feel Batista's year next year has promise, but I don't think it's going to be as good as this year. Because the injury thing mm-hmm. has really slowed him down. And his title reign and his feud with JBL really wasn't like the biggest feud of the year. And just, I think 2006, he could do more, but he does have to sit down.
Yeah, he does. Okay, now, let's talk about his opponent for that night, Triple H.
Oh, by the way, let me get into this match. Okay. Best of SmackDown, this was a Raw match.
No, it wasn't.
Because Batista is now on SmackDown, but yet JR and the King are calling the match. Triple H is on Raw, and Batista was on Raw at the time before he
got drafted. That's because of the draft, man. You can't bring that stuff up. It was nice to hear JR call the match. Now, Triple H, I'll start off with his 2005 year. Mm-hmm. I have to say, this was probably one of the worst 2005 for Triple H. Because, first of all, he didn't have the belt that long. He lost it at WrestleMania. Never got it back. He disappeared from television for a while. When he came back, it was just a feud with Flair. Mm-hmm. That was just
a pretty good feud.
It's a pretty good feud, but I mean, it's not Triple H, I want my title. I'm going to take my title. It's just that I'm going to feud with you. Mm-hmm. Then also now it's a feud with the Big Show. I think it wasn't his best year as in his career as having a title, but I think as a fan, it was Triple H's best year for a fan because he was still on the show, and when they made the switch back to USA, we realized how much we missed him, but it's nice to see that he's not going after the belt, that he's not the champion, that he's just another guy who's having other feuds. And I think that's what, for me, made him have a better 2005 than by him when he was carrying the belt.
And I'm going to agree with you that I think his 2005 was pretty good, though. He had a pretty good match at WrestleMania with Batista. He had later, you know, violent matches with Batista and Hell in a Cell and all these other No Rule matches. And then he takes the break, which I think everybody really needed a break from Triple H because he was doing so much at the time, with just 20-minute promos, turning on Orton, trying to keep Evolution together, cheating in his matches, and it was time for Triple H to just leave for a moment to let the fans get a fresh air of him.
Well, because one reason why he has to leave, I think if two wrestlers need to thank their star power to Triple H right now, it would have to be Batista and Randy Orton. Mm-hmm. Because Evolution is what made them. I mean, Randy got made for being jumped out by
because he won the title against Benoit.
And Batista just left. So these two guys really need to thank Triple H. And personally, for his 2006, I feel like he's going to have another title run. I think he's going to win the belt.
Who, Triple H?
Yeah. The question is, I don't know who he's going to beat. This is me. I would hope that he beats John Cena. I would love Kurt Angle, but then, see, it depends on how they're going to do the Kurt Angle character. If Kurt Angle becomes babyface again, Triple H versus Kurt Angle would be some great matches for me personally. And, you know, put mm-hmm. John Cena back to the back burner. I can't never see Triple H being a good guy. Mm-hmm. That's too hard for me to fathom.
I can't. You can't do it anymore. He's been evil for so many years.
And plus, the thing is, even though I guess you could say Triple H is the heel character, mm-hmm. he's still a babyface in a way because he still get a lot of cheers.
He gets cheers because everybody likes Triple H. Whether you hate him, I mean, you hate him, you hate his matches, but you can respect what he does for the company and the business.
Okay.
And also, I feel my predictions for him in the future, 2006, I feel he's going to be at WrestleMania. I feel this is not my solid prediction. I feel that he's going to be in the main event at WrestleMania.
And for me, I just want to let you guys, I think he's going to, The Big Show Triple H match. I think this is going to solidify Big Show as a better star. I think they're about to have a great match because their feuds and their talking that they're doing right now is really
leading up to something.
It makes me want to see this match, and I can say I have never really wanted to see a Big Show match.
Per se. I can say I wanted to see a few.
All right, so is that enough on that match?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to the next match that they aired. It was JBL, Kurt Angle, Big Show, and Booker T. First person, let's talk about JBL. JBL year, to me, once again, he got over. He had the longest reign as the champion. Mm-hmm. He lost the belt, and then he just went down to sub-Mick Carter status. It was like he had the cabinet going for him, but like time he lost the belt, the cabinet left. He lost his smile somewhat. Got Jillian Hall. Nothing has really panned out for JBL. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, I mean, his career really just went downslide, and it looks like it's going to continue for a while. It's just sliding slowly down, and he was up there with being the top bad guy and his champion because Triple H didn't work on Tuesday type of guy. And, you know, it's just he had the longest time.
You have to give, JBL is a great heel. He's a very good heel.
He's not a great wrestler.
I think he's a great wrestler, but like we just talked before we do the show, you have to put him against the right people. Like, Rey Mysterio and JBL, they're not going to give you great matches.
They can give you okay matches because at least there's some type of speed in it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Matt Hardy and JBL, if Matt Hardy's going to get his butt whooped the whole match, there's no reason to see this match.
Yeah, and Batista and him had some pretty much horrendous matches.
I'll put it this way. I think JBL would be better suited if he was on Raw. I think it's more people
for
him to compete with.
I see him as a SmackDown guy. Because Raw already has too many heels already on the show.
Well, let's think about it. I think, and I don't know if he can do this. I'm going to my 2006 preview. I don't think he's going to go for the World Heavyweight title next year. I think he's going to be after the U.S. title, which I think would better suit him for the type of wrestlers that he can face, the Chris Benoit's, the Booker T's, the
Kennedys
and stuff like that. And then eventually, when those guys get propelled up to the heavyweight status for the world champ, then I think it'll be better because I think with Batista, you got to match him up, like you said, with the quicker guys because right now, nobody really wants to see the two big guys, at least in my opinion. I don't want to see two big guys fight each other. It's boring to me because it's going to be a slow-paced match.
Yeah, unless you have somebody quick like The Undertaker.
Yeah, Undertaker.
Has speed with the big guy and has already fan cred behind him.
Now, I know this is a SmackDown show, but we have some Raw superstars.
Wait. I got more to say about JBL.
Oh, my bad.
We got to say what I want him to do in the future.
Okay.
What I want him to do in the future is reform the cabinet.
The cabinet needs to be back.
He needs to... Already on Velocity, they brought back, I think it was Doug or Danny Basham, and he had a pretty good match. I believe if he could reform the cabinet, he can get some type of important status with him.
Well, for me personally, I think I think we need to get more factions. I mean, not to the extent where it was like with NWO, but, I mean, crews of people, when Evolution and stuff, it was nice because it gave you more reason, like, let's just say if you had Batista's flock, whatever you want to call his team, and JBL flock.
The animals.
It would set up a better feud between JBL because it was like my cronies versus your cronies.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, in that way, first of all, you don't have to have the superstar wrestle every night. Mm-hmm. I mean, JBL and Batista wouldn't have to. You send in the cronies to wrestle. I mean, I just think I would love to see the Four Horsemen recreated.
Not now. Well, I don't know who would be the fourth member. I know Nate. I know Benoit. And I do not know who the other two would be.
I don't know. But, okay.
No Angle in
there. So, are you tired with JBL now?
I think I'm done.
All right, let's ready to Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle, to me, has been a very disappointing year as a Kurt Angle fan. For the simple fact that they, for some reason, they will not let him win the title. His matches have been great, but the man deserved to have a title shot. He has had great matches.
Mm-hmm.
He's came out every night. The fans hate him. I mean,
they don't really hate him,
but I mean,
they hate him because they want to hate him because he's a bad guy, but yet everybody enjoys him.
I mean, put it this way, Kurt Angle came in a match against John Cena. Now they're chanting John Cena sucks in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Some tell you that he's in over. I'm just going to go with my 2006. You can go with the, let's do it that way where we give our 2005, our 2006, then you go.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. My 2006, he's going to be a heavyweight champion. I'm not sure which show, but he's going to win the belt next year. And he better win the belt next year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say.
Well, I got to say this. Kurt Angle's had a great year. Not for the character. He never won the title, which I think it was a disservice to him because he's had great matches with Booker T this year.
Ric Flair.
I believe he had Ric Flair. He went on like a legend moment. He even had a good match with Hogan, which he pulled off. I think he pulled it off.
Ooh,
Shawn Michaels First one at WrestleMania, the second one I came here to pay-per-view, and then the Iron Man match on Raw, which ended at the draw, which was good. He even had a good match with John Cena. I can't
even Carlito, right?
Yeah. No, he didn't fight. Oh, Shelton. He had a good match with him on Raw. Two good matches, actually. And I believe he had a great wrestling year. In 06, he has to win the title, and they have to do something with him to take him to the next level.
But you know what, though? I think what WWE sees, though, with Kurt Angle is that Kurt Angle can be successful without the title because his matches speak for himself. He's kind of like Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels doesn't need the belt because when he gets to that ring, Shawn Michaels will give you 100%. Mm-hmm. It's just that when they have the belt, and he enhances it more. Like, some superstars need the belt to get over, i.e. John Cena. You know, like, without the belt, Cena's just another guy on the show. Mm-hmm. But with the belt, he's a champ, and you have to focus on him. Mm-hmm. So, Kurt Angle, though, Kurt Angle's a superstar of the show, but he doesn't need the belt. You know what? I'm not going to just bash John Cena. Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett needs the belt. Without Jeff Jarrett having the belt, one cares about Jeff Jarrett.
Nobody cares about him with the belt, according to our fans.
Exactly. But the point is, you know what I mean? It's like, Jeff Jarrett is just a nobody without that belt.
He's always been. He's just, Jeff Jarrett's very mediocre. And I feel Kurt Angle deserves the belt because he wants the belt. And there's been reports backstage that he has wanted this belt to solidify that he's one of the greatest champions and greatest wrestlers of all time. That's what he wanted to go down as, which he's already pretty much almost at that level because he's just having great match after great match. And it's just like, he's going to continue.
All right. I think that we expressed our love for Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. It's
the
time for the...
Oh, by the way, I was watching WrestleMania Anthology.
Okay.
Man, him and Benoit had a hell of a match.
Okay. Like I said, I got to catch up when I get some time. Next person moving on, The Big Show, Paul White.
What do you call him Paul White? When's the last time somebody called him Paul White?
I just want to call him Paul White for some reason. Big Show. I would have to say his first part of the year wasn't that good.
I think he was hurt.
I don't know what, but I don't remember him being on TV much. But I have to say the second part, his business has picked up. Mm-hmm. Tag team champs. Feud with Triple H. I mean, I think his 2006... should be a lot better, barring an injury, than his 2005.
I think this is Big Show's best year in his career.
You think so?
I honestly do. I mean...
But is it just because of the later part?
No, it's for all of them. If okay. You pay, well, he went missing for a little bit, but they really established the Big Show as a big man. They finally figured out what they want him to be. They don't want him to be a heel. They want him to be a face, and they want him to... have that intimidating force behind him that he's the biggest guy in wrestling and he's throwing his weight around. And they've been having him, you know, do all sorts of matches. I mean, Fatal 4-Way, this match was good. And they had everybody jump him early and eliminate him. And the only way he was eliminated by having him get counted out because he was dominating everybody. And then you come into now when he's intimidating people like Triple H. And not really, you know, in the story. But, like, he just... progressing, he's developing, it seems like, more moves. The fans are following him more, and him and Kane are the most dominant tag team.
I think that just gives Triple H more credit to Triple H because the hatred for Triple H is really... That's what I had to say. This is what making the people love Big Show more because he would have the hatred for Triple H. You put Kurt Angle right there, it's not going to be as much. You put Shawn Michaels right there, it's not going to be. But Triple H, he brings that heat to you.
I know, and even when he was beating up on Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, he didn't get the biggest pop as he get when he comes out and yells at Triple H.
And I mean, I know they're going to probably, if they listen to me, I think, tell you the truth, Triple H probably feuding with John Cena would have helped John Cena's character a lot more.
Yeah, because so many people don't want Triple H.
You would look over John Cena's limited wrestling skills just so Triple H can
win. You make
sure
that Triple H, because everybody knows that he's in bed with the company pretty much, literally, and he can get the title whenever he asks for it.
Now, I'm about to make a very bold statement right here. Mm-hmm. Booker T. I have to say, I think of all the superstars this year, he had either the second or the third best year of his career since he has had the title. And it's only one reason why. Charmel. Charmel added that extra thing that Booker T was missing. Because you know what I mean? It was always five time and all this.
Spinner Rooney.
He was trying to be a good guy. Booker T as a bad guy is excellent. And Charmel just adds that. Because pretty much, let's put it, he gets to act a fool. When does Fool think his locker room is his house? Who is that? Come here. It's just like, they're letting Booker T be Booker T. He's having fun with his character. You can see he's having fun with his character and his wife. More feuds are rising. Chris Benoit, him, they have very good chemistry. They're having better matches. 2006, good year for him. I don't think he's
2005.
I mean, no, I'm talking about 2006. Oh, okay. I'm saying 2005 was a great year for him. 2006, I don't see him as a world heavyweight champion. U.S. title, I can see him with a run. I can see him maybe challenging for the belt, but not winning the belt. But that will be later on through the year. Hopefully, Charmel doesn't turn on him or something like that, because they work so well together. It's like a very good chemistry.
Yeah, I didn't like Charmel with him at first because she was just annoying. And he was a good guy at the time. It's before she was hitting Benoit in the nuts and threatening to hit people with chairs. Oh, you know what I mean.
Let me get it. Charmel actually showed that she served the purpose as a manager.
Yeah. And now that she's motivated Booker T, I guess, he's had a pretty good year. But I wouldn't say his year was that good, because I believe the year started off with him being, him and Robin and them were some type of champion, tag team champions together.
No. When they went to SmackDown, he got drafted, and then Rob came to SmackDown. They weren't friends no
more. And then
more.
Booker T became a good guy. Well, it was, Booker T has had a very back and forth year. If he started off evil, then he came good, then he came evil, and now he's evil again.
I expect big things from Rob Van Dam next year.
Honestly, if the WWE is smart, they'll let him win the Royal Rumble. I honestly can see that, and they should give Kurt. This is what I want to happen in 2006. Let me be personal. I would like to see Kurt Angle as champion and Rob Van Dam wins the Royal Rumble and that main event WrestleMania.
We'll see.
And I believe that probably be.
So right is that enough on Booker T, the Bookman?
It kind of cut it short. He had a lot of good matches.
Good year
for.
And
Booker
I'm so
T.
glad that the damn Spinner Rooney, he doesn't mention this five times.
Oh, he still does. No, but it's not as much.
It's not as much.
Charmel mentions it more than.
But Charmel's not as annoying with it as he was like every time. Oh, the five time, nigga. Can you get the six time?
That's what he been saying, man. He needs
all right.
to get six.
The next match was Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio. Of course, we all know Eddie Guerrero. Sad year, he passed away. I mean, it was a very slow year for him, and, you know, it ended not the way that we have. So we're not going to really talk about this one, Eddie Guerrero, as much. But we're going to talk about Rey Mysterio.
I'm getting real Eddie.
You want to go on Eddie
a little bit? Yeah, it was really bad, pretty much, for him. He died. He had the feud with Dominik. And then, I mean, I know that sounded cold that he just died, but, you know, he had the feud with Dominik and Ray.
That was one of the worst feuds
ever. Poppy feud, which was just awful.
That was a bad feud.
The ladder match was just okay.
The worst part about it, his career started to pick up when he was teaming with Batista, because we were all waiting for him to turn on Batista.
Yeah, and you didn't know. And then he went back to the Live Team Steelway, and it just worked for him. He had a better end of his career than he had beginning of 2005.
Exactly. And now as for Rey Mysterio, I have to say Rey Mysterio, I'm not the biggest Rey Mysterio fan, but as of late, he's impressed me with his in-ring ability. It's still kind of hard to believe the 5-foot-nothing guy beating up these guys, but his in-ring ability is really showing. As for Rey next year, because I don't have much to say about him this year, maybe Cruiserweight Championship, hopefully. If not Cruiserweight, he might become the United States Heavyweight Champion.
Well, sadly, Rey had a good year for me. But this is what I think they're going to do. They've been hyping up Rey all year. And I feel Rey's going to go after the title.
The
heavyweight title.
Him and Batista?
I don't know if Batista's going to be champion when he does it. But he will, in 2006, go after the title, I believe.
I just think he has to win the U.S. before he wins the world. Personally, for me.
I know, but I feel that they're going to give him the world.
All right. After that match, they talked about Andy and Rey. It was time for they start highlighting all the superstars that kind of debuted this year. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through that list. Simon Dean, Marcus, I'll let you start off with Simon Dean.
Simon Dean is a good wrestler. He just doesn't, they need to, I mean, his gimmick can work if they give him time and let him wrestle somebody with importance. Just stop putting him in squash matches. Because he has a lot of good wrestling.
I have to say that. The Simon Dean character is funny, but as long as he keeps squashing matches, his character was never evaluated to anything. I mean, it's kind of like the Trevor Murdoch, Garrison Cade that they're not going to be mentioned on the show. Mm-hmm. But it's like his 2006.
They didn't put him on there. Oh, yeah, because it's SmackDown.
Yeah, it's SmackDown. So it's like if the Raw Superstars got picked, they got picked. For Simon Dean, he might get released. Or his character might disappear and they might rework into something else. Because he is a good talent. Yeah. Just that his character, he's booked as the punk.
They need to just put him in. If they don't want to make him as a decent sales wrestler, team him up with somebody.
All right.
Make him into a forcible tag team.
Are we trying to rate for the next person?
Yeah.
The Boogeyman. Now, My thing, the Boogeyman. One of the most interesting and entertaining superstars.
In a long time.
In a long time. Only bad part about him is that he can't wrestle yet. And that really sucks. Because he's a great character, but he comes into the ring and just squash matches. How long can
Not
it be?
Not even squash matches. Yes. Yeah.
How long? It's more if he's going to intimidate you, then you know you're going to get the pump handle slam and that's it. How long is that going to last?
I don't think it's going to last that long. He's going to end up like Papa Shango.
I just think.
But who ended up becoming the Godfather?
I just think.
And the good father.
You just got to really. Think he needs to go back down to Ohio Valley. Or at least work down there and wrestle. And it's like, keep him popping up, scaring people. But we don't need a match.
Well, maybe he can actually wrestle. It's just that they choose not to make him wrestle right now. You don't know.
He's green, Marcus.
I see him doing the pump handle slam. Maybe he has some moves and that we just can't. He did that slam part. I think he probably could wrestle a little bit. But his character is more that they're focused on right now.
The character is what sells.
And I think they should just, what you call him? Give him a regular full match.
One of the best characters they have created in a long time. Mm-hmm. Just entertaining. Okay, next person. I have to say the one who started off with a flash of lightning, but an injury took him out right then and there.
Mr. Canada!
Okay.
Canada!
Okay, Marcus probably been waiting a long time to say that because he hasn't said it well.
Mr. Kenny,
he got over with the fans really well.
Everybody loved Kenny.
He was entertaining. And then he got hurt.
Good on the mic. Good in the ring. Feuding with Tony Chimo for no reason. It was just a great character that just got hurt. And when he comes back, I feel a lot of problems for Mr. King. Because Mr. Man apparently likes him a lot.
Once again, another person for the U.S. title. I think 2006 year should be the year of the Intercontinental Championship and the United States Championship. I think those belts should change the most.
Well, they normally do. Oh. Except for Shelton. He had, like, for 8 months or something, man. He had it forever.
So, I think that Mr. King is going to have a very successful
2000. And also, they need more title changes, I think. Because Batista, Cena had the title since WrestleMania.
Well, see,
and we're coming back around again.
I'm just saying, I think the title changes as the heavyweight champion, that shouldn't happen as frequent.
It should happen every 4 months at least.
Well, then it becomes very predictable.
Every 5 months.
It becomes very predictable.
Just sometimes it just needs to just... Like, see, he could lose it. Like, you could have had him lose it in 4 months. I wouldn't be disappointed.
Because you have the hatred for Cena.
Batista could carry it.
Now, next person is Kid Cash. I can't really talk about Kid Cash 2005 because he's been subject to Velocity on the internet. And he has had a couple of matches on... Whatchamacallit, on SmackDown. Matches I've seen been entertaining, but I really don't know. Now, his 2006 can be very successful if they push the Cruiserweight division.
And I believe they plan on doing that. I believe they're going to do it, because they have a lot of Cruiserweights that they're going to use, I think. I still don't know how Sky Zuhati didn't get fired and Charlie Haas did, or, you know, talents like that.
Funaki?
Yeah, Funaki. How did they survive? And
certain
good talent like that. And this was also the year of WWE firing people, by the way.
Yes.
And also, I feel it's a good Cruiserweight division. You got Scotty. You got Funaki. But Jamie Noble's back, and he looks very impressive when I seen him on Velocity.
Paul London, Spanky.
Kendrick, who's a great tag team. I believe they should give him a run for the title. Super Crazy. I believe he's a Cruiserweight because he can flip.
Super Crazy.
And Psychosis and Hoobatoo. All the Mexicos, pretty much.
Oh, well, say the top for the Mexicos, because they're coming up. Is that enough for Kid Cash?
Well, I didn't even say nothing about Kid Cash. Kid Cash, I believe he's going to have a good year.
Just don't bring Lance Hoyt in.
Not much this year.
Don't bring Lance Hoyt in, because I think that was his valet. That's all I got to say. Right, next person, Lashley.
Not much of a year to talk about. Squash match after squash match. Lost a lot of momentum in Survivor Series. Over.
My point with Lashley, they should have did what he did with Batista. My point is, Lashley... He's been for a couple months, about 3 months, mm-hmm. Right here. We still haven't heard the man talk.
Yes, you have.
Marcus.
He said, like, it's mine or something.
Marcus,
one time.
Has he grabbed, when I say talk, I mean grab the mic and cut a promo.
Well, I don't think he needs to. I think what they need to do with Lashley is, they need to make him a bad guy. I mean, you don't make him a good guy because it's just like some big guy, some big overgrown muscle guy is just like, hey, I'm the nicest guy in the world. I beat you, and I hurt you in the ring, but I won't cheat in the match. We need somebody like, he could be the next Brock Lesnar if he becomes More vicious. That's what made Brock so good, because he was a vicious bad guy.
He threw a one-legged man down some stairs.
He threw a one-legged man down some stairs and did a lot worse. I think he killed Paul Bearer at one point.
All right, so that's
I don't know who killed Paul Bearer, but I'm actually,
I agree with Marcus. They need to rehash his character, give him a manager, or make him a bad guy, and he will get over better. Kind of like what they need to do with Shelton.
Give him Heyman. He worked for Lesnar.
All right.
But, he's not in
the contract. The next person, the next, I should say next group, the Mexicos. Mexicos, they hit the scene, do what they had to do.
I like the Wanders.
I think they're entertaining. Don't understand what the heck they say on the mic.
The juice.
I look in 2006 for them to be broken up. I don't.
I can see Hoovy going somewhere else, and then Psychosis and Super Crazy being a team for a while.
But I think for them to make the Cruiserweight division even stronger, they have to be broken up.
Yeah, they have to break up Psychosis. I mean, not Psychosis, but they got to break up Hoovy. I think Hoovy has to leave. They don't like Hoovy. He's just in their group, but they don't really like him as a person backstage.
But I think he's the only one that can speak English.
You don't need, the Mexicans don't need to speak. They just come out rowdy on their lawnmowers like they do.
All right.
I like the Mexicans.
The next person we don't need to talk about, because we already talked about her a little bit, Charmelle.
Evil. The best man, the second or best man, or I don't know.
Who, are there any other managers besides Charmelle in it?
Melina and Bob Orton Jr.
Bob,
and Ric Flair had a good managing run.
Okay, so Charmelle, keep doing what you're doing. Next thing, my favorite tag team of this year, Eminem.
Mm-hmm.
They had a great year.
Great.
Two times tag champion.
I think it's three.
It might be three, but on the site it said two times. Okay. Melina has buzz. I mean, I'm still upset about, for some reason, they don't show the entrance no more, but hey.
Hey, FCC has to step in on situations like that.
Nitro looked like he finally learned how to wrestle.
No, he got something to do. All he comes in to do is to get flipped around, because he can do a hell of a flip. And then he does the breakdancing leg drop, which is... But everybody knows that Mercury is the leader of that team.
But it's funny, because they're a very good tag team, and they bring you back to the old school tag team version, when a tag team had a gimmick. They execute their gimmick, and they do what they
kinda
do.
Kind of like the Mexicos with Psychosis and Super Crazy, who had a pretty good match at, what was the pay-per-view just happened? What, Survivor Series? No.
No, Armageddon.
Armageddon, they had a pretty good match, and it really felt, I felt, after watching that match, the tag team division might be back on SmackDown, because you got the Dix, the Mexicos, Eminem, the Dix.
Marcus,
they're so little.
The Dix is just not going to work for me.
I believe it's going to work, as long as, if they get rid of the bow ties, and then you got Kendrick in London. They're pretty good.
All right.
Honestly, I think they're the best tag team in wrestling.
So that was the new superstars of 2005. The next match they showed, Booker T versus Chris Benoit. We already talked about Booker T. Let's talk about Chris Benoit.
We haven't talked about Benoit?
No. Go ahead, Marcus.
Benoit, let's see. What happened in his year? He was on Raw in the beginning, I remember. Then he got drafted. Benoit hasn't had much of a year. I mean, he lost his title, I think, to Orton. Was it this year?
This year.
You sure?
It was, he lost the title to Orton, and then Orton lost the title to Triple H, and that's how Batista won the title.
And Benoit year hasn't really been the best year. It's been okay, in my opinion. And if he, this best of seven will carry probably into 2006, and hopefully 2006 is better than Benoit. It's not being his best.
I think his 2006 really depends on his contract, because no one really knows when his contract is over or when it expires and stuff like that. I think if they let Booker T or him win the U.S. title, it really helps both of them, because they have been very good matches. We all know that he's going to win the next three matches, mm-hmm. unless they really throw us for a loop, but I couldn't see that happening. I just think Benoit is one of those things that you put a big question mark by his name, and you see what happened with him.
Mm-hmm. And his year has been similar to that of Chris Jericho, who had a pretty good year, but it never exceeded what they could have been.
I would love for Chris Jericho to come back.
Chris Jericho was in probably the best form he was at the end when he was leaving. And I was like, man, Chris Jericho's a hell of a wrestler. And then that was coming off, I think, ECW One Night Stand, and he had a good match with Lance Storm.
Yeah. I would like to see Chris Jericho come back to SmackDown, though.
I don't know. Because SmackDown's already overcrowded, it seems like.
Not really.
It seems like Raw has nothing, really.
You have Carlito, you have Masters, you have all
it's
these
It's not really that much, though.
Well, because it really depends on if Jericho comes back as what he was, because he was a heel. Then he doesn't need to be on Raw, because it's too many heels already.
I believe he'll come back as a good guy.
All right, so let's move on to the next thing. Team SmackDown versus Team Raw. We have talked about almost everybody on Team SmackDown, except for one person, which I will say for the next one. And then let's talk about Team Raw. Shawn Michaels here.
Shawn Michaels had pretty much
A Shawn Michaels year.
Shawn Michaels year. This was a great year. Old dog vet year. He helped put over
superstars.
Really made other wrestlers better in a lot of the matches. Carlito and Jericho and Edge. And we fought everybody this year.
And for 2006, I think I look forward to the Shelton Shawn Michaels feud.
Yeah, that's going to be
pretty
good.
I think good. That's going to be a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't need to talk about the Big Show, but let's talk about Kane. What about Kane?
Kane? Probably one of his off years as a character. I mean, he just... I mean, in the beginning, he had so much momentum as being the evil guy that has Lita captive in his cage. And then them getting married, and then Matt Hardy showed up, and then,
when they,
then the whole Edge thing came in.
When they made Kane seem human, it destroyed his character. Yeah. But I think now, by him getting more demented and stuff, he's working back. And I expect him to get a push early in 2006 because of his movie.
Oh, yes, yes. So, he has a movie coming out.
But what scares me is that I'm afraid that he's going to turn on Big Show, and then it's going to be Big Show versus Kane at WrestleMania. Really don't want to see that, but
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Okay.
I believe they're going to keep the titles until at least WrestleMania, and then that's probably when their breakup is going to happen. I believe something around that's going to happen.
All right. You ready for the next person then?
Yes, go ahead.
Carlito. Carlito has to be one of my favorite characters of 2005 because he's just so freaking funny. And he actually can wrestle. Just wish that he had a knockout. Well, he has a knockout now.
He does. It's called Overdrive.
I hate that he has a knockout because I think that's what gave him his mystique, not having a knockout.
The middle rope was the best weapon in wrestling this year.
I see him reclaiming his Intercontinental Championship next year.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Shelton having more feuds over that belt.
I don't even know if him and Shelton will have any more feuds. I believe there's going to be somebody else that he can feud with.
We'll see.
Because him and Shelton feud had went on for a while, then Shelton lost the title. And apparently, Shelton never really got his rematch. I feel that I don't believe Carlito's going to win the Intercontinental next. I believe Masters are going to win it. Or they're going to turn Carlito into a good guy and him and Masters feud, maybe.
Carlito, a good guy, can never work.
Well, he's getting cheered everywhere, though.
Yeah, but I mean, you're still...
I mean, you're not booing Carlito. Nobody's booing Carlito.
But you still got to keep him as a bad guy so he can wrestle up the bad guy. If he's not spitting the apple on nobody, it's not funny.
He's still... I bet you he's still doing it. I mean, just like Jake Roberts with the snake. He was a bad guy, put the snake on people. All of a sudden, people cheered him. He's a good guy, put the snake on people. I think it'll still work if Carlito become a good guy. All
right, the next... since we had a good segue, next person, Chris Masters. I have to say, at the beginning of the year, I hated Chris Masters. But I have to say, through time, he's became more enjoyable. It's funny.
Chris Mordeski,
it's funny. And I expect him to become having an Intercontinental Championship run.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't rush him and try to get him a heavyweight championship run. Because I don't really need Masters a champion right now.
No, you don't.
I mean, he's very limited in what he can do in the ring. Although he has improved since the first time he came in that match where he injured Steven Richards. And Steven Richards is still sitting at home for 4 months. Not hurt. Just sitting at home. Under contract.
I know.
Not knowing what to do. That's awful. Well, anyway, and, you know, Chris Mordeski can have a hell of a year next year if he tries.
All right.
If they give him more moves and stuff.
Then they didn't show no highlights from the Orton-Undertaker match, Hell in a Cell, but they mentioned them, so I thought that we would mention them. Randy Orton's year.
It was okay because he was injured early, and then he feuded with The Undertaker at WrestleMania, got injured by Batista. Oh, well, he was injured already, but then they say Batista injured him on Raw when he slammed him into the shoulder repeatedly against. Then he disappeared for about a few months, comes back, feuding with The Undertaker again. Then pretty much his whole year was feuding with The Undertaker. It was okay.
I put it this way. Had a good year, but it had things that held him back. Cowboy Bob, or his daddy being in his corner, helped him over getting more over as a bad guy. The feud with The Undertaker hurt him more because it just would never end. It kept going. So hopefully the Hell in a Cell ends it. I don't know. And, I mean...
These characters go on their merry way.
Now, I mean, he can't really go after Batista now because he just lost to Undertaker. But you know what I mean. Speaking of Undertaker's year.
He's not really around much.
I think the Undertaker just proved that he's the phenom, though. Because when he comes, he gets...
He's not young!
He's a phenom. No, phenom means phenomenal.
Phenom means a phenomenon. Young and up and coming.
No, it's a phenomenon.
He's young and up and coming.
It's a short word for phenomenon. Still a phenomenon.
All right, he can be called the Phenom, all right?
Undertaker, I'm not gonna argue with you, Undertaker's right. Probably, he's what the Boogeyman wants to be. Pretty much. Well, that's the best way to sum it up.
I think the Undertaker needs to reform the ministry. It'd be him, the Boogeyman, and he could, and Vince Russo, just somebody he could put in
so
the
he could give his tutelage to.
Yeah. Put Val Venus in there. Val Venus ain't had working many moves now.
I'm concerned. I don't know by 2006, because many people say this is probably his last year wrestling.
Who, Undertaker?
Yeah, they said they think he's going to retire.
Well, later Undertaker, you know, great year.
So that was
pretty good year.
That was our pretty much recap of mm-hmm. SmackDown. We didn't get all the superstars, but hey, what you guys expect this Christmas?
What? Who else they wanted? They wanted the
Cade and Murdoch and stuff. But you know what? They probably wanted that, but they didn't email us and tell us that they wanted that.
Instead, they emailed us and gave me pity email.
Thank you, everybody, for the pity email. It made me feel great. Anyway.
I enjoyed the Macho Man thing. That was hilarious.
All right.
For the Saturday Night Live.
All right, you guys. So, we have one more segment left. That's the Raw SmackDown. The top five Raw SmackDown superstars. Marcus picked his top five Raw superstars. I picked my top five SmackDown superstars. And then we'll be finished with the show. We'll be right back. Everybody, we're back. It's time for our top five. Now, like I said, we're going to make this pretty quick for the simple fact we got things to do now. So, Marcus, who are your top five Raw superstars this year?
Are we going like my five and then your five?
Yeah, we're going to do it that way.
Wait, are we doing like, say...
You're going to read your five people.
Oh, we're we going to do it like that? Separately. I thought we was going to do it like, I give you five from Raw, and then you get, well, like, I do the five, I do my five, and then you do your five. No, like, I thought we was doing like that.
That's what we're just doing.
Say, for instance, my number five wrestler on Raw is Edge, okay? And then after that, we're going to your number five.
No, we're going to just we're going to just do Raw and like that.
Okay, my number five is
Edge.
You
said it.
Edge has had an okay year. I couldn't figure anybody else into number five, so that's why he made it. I mean, there was other people like Big Show that I pondered and Triple H, but both of them didn't have really like the greatest years of their career.
He's the MIB, baby.
Yeah, and the reason Edge...
The MIB.
And the reason Edge is number five for me is because, first, he started off on fire, winning his number one contender at WrestleMania in a pretty good ladder match.
MIB, Money in the Bank, baby.
Mr. Money in the Bank at ladder match was a pretty good match. Then his momentum carried to fight for another number one contendership in a tournament. And I believe he won, or I think he lost. And then he was like unstable for a while, and mad that people tried to screw him. And then comes the Lita Kane story, in which his career had so much momentum at becoming the heavyweight title, into the Matt Hardy, Kane leaders type of thing, in which Snitsky is not my fault came in there, and all that.
Hey, you really go into detail. You go really, because I'm not going into that much detail. No. I'm just giving my number five.
Oh, wow. You're just going to say,
yeah.
Anyway, and I feel Edge and the Matt Hardy feud carried his year, and that's why Edge is the number five wrestler of 2005. My number four.
Give me your can.
Oh man, what do you want my can for?
It's empty. Go ahead.
My number four is an amateur background champion, formerly of the world's greatest tag team, Mr. Shelton Benjamin. All year, he's had pretty much acceptable matches. He even had a pretty good feud with Gene Snitsky. Feud with Chavo Guerrero with Curry Wright on Heat, which was a pretty good feud. Matt Stryker turned on him on Heat. He also had some good matches with Shawn Michaels and with Kurt Angle all year long. Intercontinental champion Longest Ray finally loses it to Carlito because of the middle rope, and that's why Shelton Benjamin is my number four pick.
Number three?
You ain't got nothing to add?
No, this is your list.
No.
I put no thought in it.
We should have went 5-5 like that.
No. So. Well, you want me to catch up with you? I'll catch up with you did, since I ain't got much
I
to
think
say.
We should go back and forth, because me all talking right. Is like, come on.
So.
Shut up.
My number five is Eminem, Mercury, Nitro, and Melina. Groundbreaking tag team. They brought the tag team field back to wrestling. Two-time champions, Melina, Mercury, Nitro. Enough said.
They're matching.
My number four, Mr. Kennedy. Great debut. Got over. Charisma. I wanted to know what he was going to do to Chimmel. I wouldn't mind if he was the new Raw GM. It wouldn't bother me. But Mr. Kennedy got over. My number three, Randy Orton. the Olympic or whatever you call it feud with the Undertaker went on for ages. He tried to kill the Undertaker numerous times, couldn't get it done. It really established his character. Now he just needs to go to that next level. My number.
Hey. Oh, I'm supposed to go to my number two, and then you go to your number two.
Did she say your number three already?
That's it. I'm about to get. I didn't even get to my number three.
Go to your number three.
My number three. Triple C, Carlito Caribbean Cool. Spitting apples on people is cool. Everything he did was cool this year. The Cabana, I didn't like as much, but it was cool. I liked it. I like Carlito talking in third person. Very entertaining. Winning with the middle rope. His finishing move. He finally got one. It's not the best, but it works. Because I believe he's going to use the middle rope a lot more. He defeated Shawn Michaels. Shelton Benjamin. I don't know if he defeated Shawn. No, he lost to Shawn. He had a pretty good match with Shawn Michaels overall. And had a lot of numerous matches. First, on every debut he's ever made in his career was the USA title. He defeated John Cena on his first night. Comes to Raw after Shelton Benjamin's long run that Eric Bischoff announced. He defeated him, Carlito, number three wrestler overall.
You're very verbose tonight, aren't you? Even though we got things to do.
Yeah.
All right. My number three. Wait. I already gave my number three, right? I already said Randy. Yeah. Number two, Rey Mysterio Jr. Rey Mysterio. The reason why I say he's number two, because I started to like Rey Mysterio. Enough said.
What? You became a Rey Mysterio fanboy? More D2?
He fought Big Show. Great. He's a tag team champion.
Two-time this year.
Fought JBL. The feud with Eddie. I mean, come on. Enough said about Rey Mysterio.
My number two is the heartbreaking Shawn Michaels, who had one of the biggest years, not of his career, but of his new career after the back injury. Because he's feuded with Triple H, I think, some point of the year. I think a little bit. He's feuded with Kurt Angle. He's feuded with everybody. He even had an okay match at SummerSlam with Hogan, although he had to try to carry it because Hogan wasn't doing anything. Him turning on Hogan was one of the best moments of the year because I wanted to kick Hogan after he did celebrations. And Shawn Michaels, all-star year, Iron Man matches, his feud with Kurt Angle, puts him number two.
My number one, Batista, for one simple reason. He's been a champ at the beginning of the year. He's a champ at the end of the year.
So was John Cena, but I don't put him on my list.
But I like Batista as a champion. That's the difference.
Dave.
I have no beef against you, John Cena. It's that you're not championship material just yet.
Oh! Come on, dog. You're breaking my balls.
And Marcus, can we give your number one Kurt Angle?
And my number one. Why'd you do it? Why'd you do it? I want to have some type of suspense in the number one wrestler of the year. My number one. It's cool how we reverse it because I started off and then I get to end it. My number one is your Olympic gold medalist, the man that falls in three eyes, Mr. Kurt Angle. Hell of a year. He went on a Legends tour for a while. Ric Flair, Hogan, Michaels, all three in like the same month.
He went on that Legends tour, but he didn't become a legend killer like
Rob Conway, the legend killer.
And Randy Orton.
And him and Sylvain breaking up was just the stupidest move.
Yeah, they needed to put them back together.
I didn't like Lobby's and stuff.
The whole thing is, put them back together as the models or whatever. You mean, you know,
because they're the same people. And then they can't make them the models because that's Eminem's gimmick some way as the Hollywood celebrities.
No, they're the Hollywood celebrities that have paparazzi. They're just models. They're fashion consultants.
Yeah, but they have pictures.
They can be Billy and Chuck 2006.
Anyway, I believe Kurt Angle carried this year for the WWE. With every match he was in was great, and he exceeded to the next level in almost every match. And he played a really good bad guy, and he's even becoming a bigger bad guy now that he put one of the best badges in the game today. You know, Mr. 1-2-3, right down the middle of the bar, right next to him. And that's why Kurt Angle's the best wrestler of the year in any brand of wrestling.
All right, that's all you have to say?
Mm-hmm.
That's been our top five. If you guys agree or disagree, feel free to email us at thesharpshooters.com.
Oh, also.
thesharpshooters@gmail.com.
You know how they was doing the recap thing?
Yeah.
And all the rookies. You know who they left off?
Muhammad Hasan.
They left off Muhammad.
I know, Marcus.
He had one of the best years.
But there's
a reason why. He would have made my list if he would have still been around.
Marcus, UPN said they didn't want no more mention of that guy on TV.
He was a great character.
It doesn't matter.
Great villain.
Marcus, I have things to do. We can't get on your rant.
All right.
All right. So we want to thank everybody for listening to this show on our Christmas edition. Even though I tried to get this under an hour, we still have 54 minutes.
That's right.
I refuse to take a break right now. So, Marcus, if you have any closing comments. What do you have to say?
This is what I want to happen in 06. Although, we should say this probably for next show, which is easier.
We'll just save it for next show.
I think I'm going to save it for next show. I'm holding it in!
All right, people. I would like to say, we would like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa. Whichever you celebrate, I hope you have a great time with it. I hope you eat all the food that you can eat.
Don't die of a heart attack.
Hope you guys, I hope we have a great year next year and we get more people that listen to our show. Uh-huh. If not, we love the listeners that we do have because we feel like a family.
It's like a cult following.
Okay, it's not a cult following.
We got druids, man. All right. We got druids.
We need to thank
the... That's what we should call our fans, the druids.
No, Marcus, I'm not calling nobody. I call them the listeners because they're listeners, because they're not fans, because we are not famous. They're listeners. They like to listen to us.
Oh, come on, they're fans.
No, they're listeners.
Fans.
Listeners.
Fans.
Anyway.
Druids.
Listeners.
There are druids.
Anyway.
If Jim Rump got a show, we
Marcus.
Got druids.
Shut up, Marcus. All right, we're going back. I'd like to thank the Music Pod Safe Music. No, the Pod
the
Show.
Who?
The Pod Show Music Safe Network for providing the lovely Christmas music that we had today.
It's so, so lovely.
The artist is Doug Bolt. His song is Deck the Halls with We Wish You a Merry Christmas. We wanted to give the Christmas feel to this episode, so it's a little slowed down. Once again, we want to thank everybody. Stay tuned for the next episode when we release it. Don't know when it's going to be.
Probably Wednesday of next week, probably.
Hopefully. I'm Eric.
And I'm Marcus, the grand finale, and I wish you a Merry Christmas.
Ho, 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 ho. All right. Is that it?
Is there anything else you want to point out?
That's the end.
Try the Forever Man, maybe? Or?
No, I'm not mentioning
and
that.
I'm going to try to get Eric to put something on the blog, a little link to something that's funny.
All right. Anyway, we'll see you guys next episode.
The sequel. Episode 30?
30.
This is 30, isn't it?
This 29.
Well, episode 30, the sequel. It's not in the can?
No.
Okay.
Bye.
We're over.